sense that we may have identified with our own recommendations in terms of what are the things that need to happen. As much,
Yes, let me begin by saying good morning to Dr. Babb. We have met before many years ago in King William's Town of Vishu before the first election, she might recall that, and just like to say that you are highly respected throughout the country for your integrity. And so it's very nice to have you here. Not so nice to have you here, but to see you. I'm just going to begin with a few points because other colleagues might want to continue. What I would like to begin by saying is that according to the Auditor General, a whole lot of issues have been resolved, and that's good news. And I don't want to go through all of them, but that's good news to say that these issues have been resolved subsequent to the audit report, and we like to hear that, and that's great. As the Chair said, the main reason that we called you is because of the election, the forthcoming election, and your readiness. And you may recall when last you came to us, we were able to identify a problem as a committee and hopefully assisted in resolving that and with lack of funds. And maybe I should just start with that particular issue, Chair. And I want to go to the audit report, and this is a concern I have. When you come to Clause 18, the strategic plan of the Electoral Commission does not include the measurable objectives and targets of the Commission's programs as required by the Treasury regulations. Now, I have looked at your strategic objectives and whether they are measurable, and I must admit, and it's contained on pages 12 through to about page 439 of your report. The bulk of your report is that, and to me, it's more like a narrative of what you've achieved, but it's not measurable. And the Auditor General goes on then to say, in support of what I've just said, that the format and presentation of the performance information in the annual report does not provide users with information to assess the Commission comparing and monitoring its performance against objectives. And then, Chair, just another comment by the Auditor General, which concerns us, is we generally have a briefing. I'm sure that the members are aware of that, where the Auditor General made the following comment in respect of the strategic plan. The IEC may not be able to obtain sufficient funding from the national government to sufficiently fulfill its mandate if it does not include these items that may affect its spending plan. Furthermore, the IEC is not compliant with the Treasury regulations and the CFA. Now, to me, that is a concern, and I'd like just to have some comment or explanation. Chair, I'm not going to go through the whole series of objectives because I think that would be take a long time, but maybe we can follow on later if we have time for that. Comment you will not find in the annual report, because that was a comment made by the Auditor General in a brief discussion of it.
Honourable Chairperson and honourable members of the committee, good morning. My name is Mosotho Moepia. I'm going to respond to the question raised by the Honourable Mr. Trent. The comments raised in our financial statement were noted, and after, in fact, during the course of that audit, quite a discussion was had with the members of the Auditor General. But because of some of the things that we thought could not be measured, and there was understanding that there are those instances where, for example, if one looks at the amount of people that would come to vote and, you know, the turnout and things like that, that may slightly be outside of our control and would not be measurable. But we did agree, and they did point out a number of instances where they believe that they should be measurable, and even in those instances where they weren't, we have gone and developed that. Just last week, last week, we submitted our strategic objectives with those measurements to the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs, and they were received and approved. So we do have them in place. Thank you very much.
All right. I think.
Okay, just a comment on the readiness.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I'm sorry, I missed that part. We do not have concerns that we could be raising today with respect to the funding. We have in terms of the strategic objective that we have set. We believe we have sufficient funds that have been received or will be received from the National Treasury.
Maybe we're going soft, Dr. Bam. This committee is not known to be nice, but in this instance, we want to say, really, we're more than impressed with what we've received from the Auditor General. It really was, as the chairperson indicated, for us to be satisfied that you are ready for the task ahead. Just one question. The Auditor General raised the issue about security in terms of IT systems. Now, clearly, that is probably one of the key areas. so we would just want to get from you if you've resolved that problem. There's no way that people could get into the production side and into the user side without passwords and so on. Maybe just that one, and then I have one other question. What is the status of your IT security?
Chairperson, through you, thank you very much. The issues raised in terms of the IT security were actually issues that have also now been resolved. What had happened at the time of the audit, we were doing an extensive review of our IT policies. And in the process of doing that extensive review of the policies, we had a very short and abridged version of all IT policies, and we were giving them detail and really incorporating some of the standards that group in GTOC and CETA are advising us on. That policy is now approved and it has been made available to the auditors now. What had happened and which is the issue that the Honourable Mr. Smith is raising is whether our IT security, our IT is indeed secure. And I want to assure you that it is indeed secure. What we do at the Electoral Commission is we, from time to time, do this test and invite IT systems auditors to also come and audit our systems and our security. And in the event that we do find that there are issues of security that take place, we act on them immediately. May I say to you that up to now we have not had any security breaches. Towards an election, as part of the preparations for elections, we invite all political parties represented in the National Party Liaison Committee to even bring their systems auditors to test our systems. We give them specification documents of the applications that they would like to test, and they even test those applications. So in that respect, we have comfort that we very tight on security. Thank you.
Just one more question, Chair. And this is the difficulty I had when I spoke earlier on. You know, we normally fight with departments because they're not saving enough. Their expenditures go up. I'm looking at your financials for 2007. And you're going in the other direction. And yet I'm still worried. You know, you probably will think that we don't know what we want. But in your case, maybe it's got to do with 2006 that you had elections. But I'm just looking at for instance, it's good that your conference on page 78, by the way, of the annual report, beg your pardon, your conference and workshops have gone down from 30 million to 9 million. Now, we'd normally give you a bouquet, Dr. Bam, for doing that. But in this particular case, are you doing enough in terms of voter education? Or is this just because it was a down year? Because it would be a sin if you go down in expenses at the expense of making sure that we have a proper election. So that's just, I mean, it's generally across the board. You see all your expenses have gone down. And is it because it's a non-election year? Thanks.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. Indeed, you are right, Mr. Smith. The 2006 includes a lot of expenditure that is election related, and a majority of that would indeed be in the areas where we direct election activity in the form of democracy development and training and stakeholder management projects. In years that are non-election years, we still do quite a substantial amount of that work. As you would clearly see from the democracy development and training, we increase that. What happens with that program is that when you get to an election, you have done quite a lot of training and democracy development. And in the what we call non-general election years, we continue to do, to work on that program. And therefore, you would see that of all of the expenses, it is the one that continues to be stable, and in fact shows an indication of a slight increase from year to year. If you look after this year, you would find that it is going to be substantially higher because we're currently busy with that kind of program leading up to elections.
I think I would also want to talk to the intellectual development and education aspect. I do think that it is very central to the consolidation of the democracy that we have. I think much more important than voting day. And for me, it is a bit worrying that that component does not seem to be as central as it should be. Unless there is education, visible and concerted education programs, and money being utilized, not as if the IEC is very C in terms of resources, definitely should be able to handle resources. I can't find the page now, but I do see somewhere we were talking about pamphlets and flyers. A total of 25,000 corporate pamphlets were printed. what impact do we think in a country of 47 million, 35,000 corporate flyers would do? 63,000 flyers were printed in all official languages for the United States. So I'm saying that that program. And of course, I do see on page 26 where there is talk about workshops. I'm just saying there is definitely room for improvement in terms of putting resources and a concerted program to educate our people. So some of the things that they believe in that inform how they put it across are a reflection of total ignorance of the democratic process. And I think that most definitely, certainly the IEC does need to look in that direction. I just wanted to emphasize that point that it's not lost to the Honourable Chair.
Yes, I would like to just deal with one question on other matters, and I want to revert back to the question of the measurement of your objective. I don't think you've assured us that you are looking at it, but I think we need to just unpack it a little bit. Chair, and I want to go back to where I started. I want to congratulate them for resolving most of these issues. But other than the strategic objective issue, there is one other issue that we maybe just need to interrogate in order to close that particular chapter, and that is the one, the Treasury regulation regarding the insurance of vehicles and the fact that there was non-compliance, because you may not insure at more than 250,000 Rand unless you get Treasury. And it says the Auditor General, in our, he tells us this matter is unresolved, so maybe we can just deal with that one quickly. Has that now been resolved?
Through you, it has since been resolved.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So, for my book, the first nine have all been resolved, which is wonderful. Now, let's get back to the strategic objectives. And I want to start at the most significant one, which is informing voters on electoral processes with the view of ensuring maximum turnout and the least possible number of ballot papers. Now, you did say that you can't predict these things. To me, that's not an objective. Surely the objective should be to get a higher percentage poll than what you got last time. Because that deepens and strengthens democracy. And flowing from that, it would be all the other things that you're going to do to ensure that, including voters' rolls that are up to date and conveniently available to the various political parties. So to me, that's not an objective. That is a sort of an outcome. So how do you deal with that? Now, Vincent has raised the one issue where the Auditor General has concerns regarding your strategic objectives and plans and this, but then another six, which I'll go through very quickly with you one at a time, but can we get you to comment on that one I've just raised now?
We, as I indicated through you, Chair, we have gone and re-looked at all of our strategic objectives following this audit and the issues that were raised in the audit. And we have gone and refined them in the same manner that you're saying, to say that, not necessarily to say that we will increase beyond what we got the last time, but to look at how many people are out there that we need to register and therefore are going to be eligible to vote. And we have taken those statistics and put them in our plan, with in our strategic plan, with business plans to go and achieve them. This is a set of strategic objectives I had indicated earlier. We had approved by the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs last week.
Okay. As I say, there are five here, but I don't want to waste your time. Maybe I could go through them, but what I want to really just interrogate is this report is now basically out of date. We're very late dealing with you. Your new accounts and your new annual report is due before the election, and will these matters have been dealt with in the 208 accounts, which are shortly to be given to the Auditor General? because we are told that many of the departments will give the account, but not the annual report.
I think in relation to your question, the response has been that these have been addressed. Unfortunately, because we're not a portfolio committee, they have already made a presentation here in Parliament on this matter. So all the issues that are identified as vague and this and that, they have addressed them, implying therefore that going forward they will not be a matter of appeal by the Auditor General, if I understood you correctly. Yeah.
No, Chair, that's what I said. I'm not going to go through all of them because we've been given the assurance that, because, and I haven't conceded that this report is a year old, so it's really very out of date. The only thing that I just wanted to get assurances on, because the Auditor General often complains to us that he's unable to actually audit the information because they don't give the annual report with the financial. So if you give a financial audit, they can't do the other audit. So we just want the assurance that all the documentation and all the information the Auditor General requires will be submitted on, you know, within the prescribed time.
All right. No, I think we'll see when the next annual report comes out, whether it will back what they can get to us or not. But yeah, I think the response is that yes, that has been addressed. Comrades, I think let's not kill a dead horse. I think I also want to welcome the committee member Kubrick who arrived after we started. We appreciate that traffic today, because we don't know Cape Town, when it is cold and rainy, it affects movement. We would want to thank you. You indicated that our interaction with you was not going to be that long, but however, let me allow the chairperson of the committee before we wrap up.
I just want to make a general comment that there is an element of anxiety on our part that is related to numbers. Because in our national voters' roll, we do want to make an increase that we have had over the years. But because we have had such a large decrease in our voters' roll from 2006, we are a little anxious that we are able, in fact, to deliver the numbers, which really is related to always the challenge of the registration. The number of South Africans who can register is very important to us. And that relates to how many South Africans, in fact, can all get their IDs on time. So those are some of the anxieties that we have, because the normal thing is that we would like to have more people to register, but we are not sure, you know, the enthusiasm of the electorate, we don't know whether that enthusiasm after 10 years is still there. We keep saying we would like the numbers because we have to measure somehow, you know, and say when we have had an increase in the numbers. And I think the second area also on our part has to do with the political parties themselves. They have increased, which I think is good in terms of the recognition of the multi-partisan interaction. But whether, in fact, we will all be able to abide by the codes of conduct. Now, of course, those things are very difficult to measure, whether in the years we have been abiding by the codes of conduct that are there. These are more of issues of the legality and the commitment of people on those kinds of things that they have. But we do hope that we can, in fact, our turnout is quite, we're anxious about it, we need to say that, because we did very well in 1994, and we did very well in 1999, the figures went up 2004, But on local government, in 2006, our percentages went down very low. And there is, you know, the attitude of the electorate. Sometimes it is not that people don't know. People do know, but sometimes the enthusiasm or the electorate also is becoming a little more critical. And that is why on local government, the challenges, in fact, are much, much greater, because that relates to individuals on the local level, how enthusiastic they are, what their hopes are after the voting. But that's just a general comment I need to make, that we hope the South Africans will sustain their enthusiasm on registering, and so we can, in fact, increase our voters' role and the numbers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Now we are closing it. On ensuring that our people get their ID in time, we'll talk to Patrick Chow, see if we cannot deal with that, with the challenge. And I think the question of the registration and voter turnout, I think the people sitting right across, it is their responsibility to make sure that the people come out and register in November. Right, in November, and the second one in February. I think we have this information. Yes. So it is their responsibility. But again, that electoral democracy unit, its responsibility to assist. So, but as they say in Mpumalanga, it's our elephant. Mm-hmm. All of us, all of us have to be involved in ensuring that ours remain a democracy where the people still see. It is the only way through which they can influence them and bring about change. Thank you very much, Dr. Bam. I see that we do have tea, so can we take a 1 minute break just to grab something to drink and then come back? Please remember us. Can we have the total? I do remember that we were on this floor I almost objected here in this very room, yeah, with the allegation of Samsa left by the chairperson, Councillor Makolo. That was in 2006. Yes, we met here. And unfortunately, at that time, just as is the case now, we are meeting because the report of the Auditor General does not look good, does not make for good reading. And it is even more worrisome today that despite the engagement that we had last time, we probably took one step forward and two steps back in terms of the state of affairs of the organization. And appreciating the role that SALGA is meant to play. Phase of the service delivery that our people so desperately need, which if they do not get, we end up with all sorts of undesirable social phenomena, including xenophobia. I must say that on Sunday I was in Tbilisi. The things that people say about local councils in relation to their frustration are not good, and at some point quite scary. So this therefore places a lot of pressure and burden on local governments. So if they become the bottleneck, whatever we do here in Parliament in terms of putting the necessary legislation to provide our people with A, B, C, D, make the necessary resources available, it will come to naught. So I was merely contextualizing the context so that the leadership of SALGA, both at the political and administrative level, should appreciate that from our perspective as COPA, we take your position is very strategic in the realization of that promise of freedom to our people, which is an improved material condition. And so far, our local governments are not rising to the challenge as effectively and as efficiently as our people expect, and as the resources at our disposal would permit us to do. So when we look at your book, they are a cause for serious concern. And that is why we have made time to have this engagement. And we have deliberately put you with the IEC so that we could have as much time as possible with you, so that we could collectively go through all the issues and the challenges that they are facing, you as an organization and local government, as a CEO of government. And that is why I think from our side we tried to communicate timeously with you, so that diary could be cleared, to ensure that we give this the attention that it deserves. And I think almost like every other day, but today you can see all our members are here, even those who are in Johannesburg. They appreciated that this is one such hearing that they dare not miss, because whatever you do has an impact on the constituencies that they always go to every weekend. And Councillor Somio,
it was for that reason that when I received the letter from Mr. George, his letter of the 19th on Monday, I was I'm looking for the correct way, but to say that I was extremely unhappy, and I immediately wrote back. Well, in fact, this letter and the other one from Councillor Mason, I immediately wrote back to say, in view of the seriousness of the issues at hand and the state of this organization, there was no way that we as a committee would be happy with a situation where your delegation is not led by the political leadership, the most senior political leadership of Zambia. And we then dispatched a letter to Councillor Masolo. Trying this technology, yes, on Monday, empty, to Councillor Masolo, indicating that we need confirmation from him. Firstly, that he is going to lead the delegation today. And secondly, that the deputy chairperson of SALGA, in the names of Councillor H. Jenkins, Councillor O. Mlaba, and Councillor G. Mutupi, should be part of, should actually lead the delegation, because we feel that accountability for the state of affairs in SALGA, looking at the seriousness of the issue, must be dealt with by the most senior leadership. And we requested that a response be given to us by yesterday. And today, as I'm sitting here, I have not received that response. I have not received that response or even the acknowledgement of that communication, which I understand from my staff it went by office, Mr. George. So I'm saying that that was the difficulty that I, as chairperson of this committee, had with the arrangement as it was. And I was praying last night and this morning that despite the non-response, I would have before me the leadership of SALGA that I had requested, the leadership of SALGA that would actually say to us its views with seriousness the state of affairs in the organization. I am not sure if my expectations have been met. And you see, that raises a challenge for me before we even start, in terms of how should we go about it. So I would want, firstly, to be advised, Councillor Somio, how, in the light of what I've said,
thank you very much, the members of the committee. Indeed, from our part, we profusely forward our apology for being viewed in the light of not necessarily taking your instructions in terms of your correspondence in the manner which you have highlighted. May is a very difficult month at the local government level. Difficult month because it's a time when mayors, municipalities, councils, which have to finalize, adopt their own budgets. And those who have assumed leadership at the southern level, in terms of your defines, are occupying such positions wherein there are various municipalities have unfortunately had programs which limit them to be focused in their own municipalities at this point in time. It has been the case with our chairperson, the Mayor Masondo, who have initially sent his own apology, because today is the day for the city budget, and therefore he is responsible for that. We have indeed received your correspondences, and some have been answered in that way. Even ourselves, we have been trying to persuade them in the light of your insistence that if there are any plans that could be done by those leaders cited in those correspondences, that they can make time possible to somewhat come along for them to be present. It became very difficult. Up until last night, we were meeting with some of them, and it transpired indeed that for them it's really very tough. Others had their own engagements with Treasury in relation to their own budgets, scenarios and so forth. So we want indeed to...
Two things that you've raised. One, May is a difficult month for local government. Two, your senior leadership has engagement from which it cannot extricate itself. But that has not come through when you received our correspondence. The letter of apology from Councillor Masondo actually insisted that Valga will be adequately represented. So the impression I got was that from where they were seated, it was a non-issue if the delegation came as it is. So I hear what you're saying, but I'm just saying that between when we wrote you a letter and now that I'm sitting here, I did not get the impression that that you're giving me. But it's fine, I've heard you. Let me hear my comments in fact. Right, Comrade Vincent, Honorable Steven, and Honorable Comrade Bouquet. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, maybe we should start by saying that as a committee we support your sentiments 100%. That there can never be a situation, ever, where a department that has disclaimer 2 years in a row is unavailable to account to Parliament. It can never happen. It's about accountability to Parliament, which authority is derived from the Constitution. Now, I hear the leader of the delegation saying that May is a difficult month for mayors because they're doing their budget. Well, sir, May is a difficult month for us as well because we approve the budget that you're going to use. So I don't know if you understand what we are saying. It wouldn't help for the mayor to be worried about his budget if Parliament here has the impression that you one, do not account for your previous budget, and two, we must approve a future budget. So I'm trying to put into context the difficulty of May, not just for the city, but for us as well, because we approve your budget. And it would be totally irresponsible for us to approve a budget for somebody that doesn't account for the previous budget. I'm hoping that Salga understands our difficulty. We just can't do that. So, Chair, the second point that I want to raise is that, you see, finances in the state are governed by the PFMA. We don't have laxity to do things differently. The PFMA says that the accounting authority, in Section 50, Chair, it says that the accounting authority, for instance, has the responsibility of protecting assets and records. Now, that hasn't happened for 2 years, according to the information that we have available. The biggest problem was protection of assets and records, according to the information we have as we speak to you. And it's the responsibility of the accounting authority. Now, when the accounting authority isn't here to account, and I'm not saying, please, that you are not the accounting authority, it makes life difficult for us. If you look at Section 51 of the FMA, it has a whole role and responsibility of the accounting authority. All of which, I dare say, Chairperson, have been weaknesses identified by the Auditor General in this current year. The entire Section 51 of the FMA. Internal controls, procurement, systems, effective financial systems, IT systems, all those of Section 51 of the TFMA have been weaknesses identified by the Auditor General. That is the general responsibility of the accounting authority. Now, when the accounting authority is unable to account for us, it's been a problem. We have a problem. So, Chair, I want to say to you, Chairperson, that yeah, if one person of the four couldn't make it, it's fine. But if four of the four top five can't make it, then the excuses or the explanations given to us, Chairperson, for me, are not strong enough. And maybe we'd have to find some other way of doing it, including postponing this hearing to a date where these people are available. That is a firm proposal of mine, including postponing this engagement to a date where they are available, because this is Parliament that we are asking them to account to. This is not SCOPA. It's Parliament that they must account to. And they have a responsibility, Chairperson, if they want their budget approved, to ensure that they account for the previous budget. So those are the challenges we all are faced with, and therefore all of us must make an effort. All of us would have to make an extraordinary effort to be able to engage on these matters. So those are the type of sentiments that I'm suggesting that this committee must also consider when we come to our final conclusion. Thanks, Chair.
Right, let me give one of those statements and then I'll come to you.
Thank you, Chair. I support what you, Chairman, have said and Honourable Vincent. It is a totally unacceptable situation that the political leadership are not here under these circumstances. And to put the circumstance in perspective, I made a comment previously, and I will repeat it now, that I don't think it is really possible to get a worse Auditor General's report than the one you've got. It is certainly the worst I've ever seen. It would be something that I would suggest that each and every person involved in it should be quite ashamed of. And under those circumstances, then, not to be here is really an arrogant disclaimer of Parliament. That May is a difficult month is surely something that they have known for at least a year, because it's every May. And this date was arranged through correspondence. So did they just knowingly arrange a date that they knew they wouldn't be available? Or is the problem further than that? Because one of the major issues that we find in the Auditor General's report, and our information at this stage indicates, that most if not all, of the problems is an attitudinal problem. It says so over and over and again. There is the wrong attitude towards the keeping of accounts, the keeping of records. There's indifference and a negative attitude. So it is an attitudinal problem that lies at the root cause of what is happening in Salga. And what we see here today is another example of an attitudinal problem. Oh, it's not necessary to be here. We will be well represented without us. We want Chair, the political heads to be here because leadership starts there. And I would support the idea that we do not carry on with this meeting today, but that we give the proper political leadership here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think I will wholeheartedly accept the words of the last speaker. But before that, I think it is very imperative and then to mention some of the things of what happened over the last weekend. Apart from the financial aspects of it, on this problem which is now being articulated as xenophobia and a lot of things which are happening in the local, we need to meet Salka and to find out if xenophobia correct to reduce the gap or there are some hidden agendas behind it. It is time that alter our agenda. This time that we have to deal with these things, of which over the last weekend I had 2 weeks first from Cape Town here, and then I went to four of the far, far remote areas to deal with some of these things and to meet with some of the council affairs. I have got some photos here that I can prove to everyone of the problems of the life of people and all that. Now, accepting your invitation wholeheartedly as well, you have put a requisition in front of what you are saying in your requisition. We request that Skouba should postpone approving our budget because May month is a problem. I wholeheartedly accept your requisition. It's what you are requesting. Because May is a problematic and it has got a lot of the things and we have to approve the budget with you people to support it as we are doing even today. Now you are saying, please, Skouba, hold on, reserve that, accept our humble apology. May month is a problematic. Now, as such, to support Comrade Finson next to me and to support you, the Honorable Chair there, who is representing your senior member, we already accept your requisition. You are the person who is requesting us to postpone the budget today. So we are not going to pass any budget of Salka for the next year. Is that understood and well understood? That is our would be recommendation that we are going to put. We might lose the vote, but we might win the war. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I would want us to round it off. I will allow three comrades here to make an input and then we take a decision. I would allow you to say something, but I think if you clearly listen to what is being said, that you see, unless Masondo and the other three councillors pop in, anything you say will not assist us in anything. Because that's the point of quotation, they are not here. And the sentiment is why should we continue when the most senior leadership of SANGA is not here? I think that's the point. Anything else is purely just Honorable Trent, Repule, and
yes, Chair, I'm not trying to be repetitive, but I just want to point out that this annual report covers the period July 2006 to 2007, June. The audit report was signed off by the Auditor General in December. Parliament is in recess, we then have the opening of Parliament. Right? So there was no way that we really could get to interrogate this report other than the end of the first quarter or the beginning of the second quarter of Parliament. They should know that, because they should know that if they have a report of this nature, Parliament is going to call in to get evidence, and we represent Parliament here. So they should have anticipated that change. I also note that the actual date of the annual report is not signed off. There's no date by the chairman forward. There's no date signature. Chair, to me it's unacceptable. I support the previous colleagues. I think that they need to go back and we need to reconvene this meeting. Yes, just to what the previous speaker said, the government grant is increasing all the time. So we're not giving them less money, we're giving them more money. I'm not sure what the amount is for this year, but certainly in the previous 2 years there was an increase of about $6 million. So I would support you that we delay this hearing to a later date. But as soon as possible,
okay.
We can get to that.
Okay. Rapule, complete then we.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, Chairperson, it is very clear from our side what we are saying. I think this committee will not be carrying out the dictates of its conscience if we could go on with this meeting. You know, when you go through this report, you see what is actually happening here. You know, right through the whole auditor's report, there is this sentence. Management does not have a positive and supportive attitude towards functions of accounting. And this is the type of attitude that we get here, that the auditor has so ably accentuated. And I hope that we don't go on Chairperson with this meeting.
All right. Commissioner Pierre.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't want to repeat what's been said, but it's become a trend at this committee and some of the other committees where people on the day when they have to appear here are suddenly sick or have other engagements, and I think we're all fed up for that. But Chair, having said that, I want to support what my colleagues have said and the proposal of Vincent wholeheartedly. And I don't think we should waste time on this postponement. I want to suggest that we have this meeting next week, Wednesday. We've all prepared for it. And I think we should deal with it sooner than later. So my proposal is that we postpone this meeting till next week, Wednesday. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think we're proud of what the committee is saying. We are looking into consideration of the fact that we have to find a scenario where the chairperson or the deputy should be part of the meeting of the committee. Because we don't want to create an impression as if SALGA is uncaring for what the committee is founded for. Ours is a sense that we must facilitate a sense of understanding on the issues raised by the Auditor General. One of the order that time is an opportunity to take the committee through and hope that that time will come when we reconvene and probably through your leadership at a date to be dispatched very soon for us to look into how can we best ensure that our leaders are part of the meeting. Thank you very much.
Right, so we are in agreement that this hearing will not continue today. Because as a committee, we are not happy with the absence of the senior leadership of the South African Local Government Association. And instead of dispatching a date very soon, we would want you to be here next week Wednesday. Next week Wednesday is the 4th of June.
No, it's the 28th.
Oh, yeah. You see, that is why I even lose my date. We oh, that's difficult, man. But yeah, I think the long and the short of it is that we would want we would want you to come back next week Wednesday. Even that Wednesday, we're merely squeezing ourselves. Our plate is full. Should you see our problem, and it will actually compromise the hearing that we're going to have, next week in terms of time. So your problems are now spilling over to become our problems. We are inviting the 9 provincial heads of health, together with the national department, to come and discuss the Division of Revenue Act non-compliance issue. And we had scheduled the whole morning. Now we have to squeeze it in order to accommodate you. If you go to the 4th that I was talking about, you have a whole set, I think about 4 or 5 sector education and training authorities that are supposed to be having that whole morning. So if you go to the other week, it's transport, industries, and also the road accident fund. All of them involve the engagement. So I think you need to appreciate the level of inconvenience that you've actually brought us up. But however, the long and the short of it is that let's stop this field engagement and let's meet here next week Wednesday, 9 o'clock. To continue. We're not going to write you any correspondence again. You take it, you're here next week Wednesday, the 28th, 9 o'clock here in Parliament. I think the only thing that will I think the only information that will forward to you is the venue. Where in Parliament.
Yeah. Just on a point of clarity, we've insisted upon what is it that we require. Do we require the chair to be here, or one of the 4 people, or all of them? I think it would be unfair to just tell them what is the minimum requirement.
All of them. No. I think it's very clear. Very clear from their mind. Councilor Masondo, Jenkins, Laba, and must lead.
Okay, well, then you might have been here.
Yeah. Right. Thank you very much. We are also telling you about Ruti and castigate those who are in church about those who are not coming to church. You are here. We thank you for being here and let's meet next Wednesday.
Because they postponed half of it.